Coming to you from the Deep South, this is the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast. High impact leadership is not reserved for leaders, and it has nothing to do with your position, title, or rank. However, it does have everything to do with your character. It's time to climb to the next level and beyond, personally and professionally. Now, let's start making it happen with your host, Max Story.
Hello, and thanks for listening to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast. So today we made it up to chapter 21, part 21 of 30 in this 30-part series on my book, Who's Buying You? Until you sell yourself, you won't sell much. So today we're going to talk about rapport. You may or may not be familiar with that word. I know before I really got into leadership, I had heard it, but I didn't really know very much about it. And if you're not familiar with it, you spell it R-A-P-P-O-R-T, and you pronounce it rapport, kind of like R-A-P-O-U-R is kind of the way it sounds, rapport. But anyway, so we're going to talk about this chapter, which is called Rapport Sales, and I'm going to teach you about what it is and why it's important. Most of the time when you hear someone talking about rapport, they're talking about all kinds of practices on how to build and establish rapport. But I'm going to really teach you some pretty basic principle that if you learn the principle, remember last episode in this series, we talked about principles versus practices. So I'm going to teach you some simple principles related to rapport. And if you learn the principle, you don't have to know the practices. If you learn the principle and you learn the practice, that's even going to make you better. But if you got to only have a little bit of time, you need to learn the principle. Principle is always what you need to learn, no matter how much time you got. And you can learn as many practices as you can add on top of that. So rapport sales. Basically what we're saying in this chapter, when you value the customer will value you. And Les Giblin, I think that's the way to say his last name, G-I-B-L-I-N, he says, you can't make the other fellow feel important in your presence if you secretly feel that he is a nobody. That's pretty powerful right there. You can't make the other fellow feel important in your presence if you secretly feel that he's a nobody. There's a lot of posers and pretenders out there, especially people in the sales world. But again, whether or not you're a professional salesperson, you're always trying to sell yourself. Which is what this book is about, with an emphasis and a target audience of the person who is actually in professional sales. But again, these principles, if this is your first episode listening, these principles apply to everybody, everywhere. Because we're always selling something. Number one thing is us. And then throughout life, we're going to be selling some other stuff too. Let's talk about rapport. So rapport is defined the Merriam-Webster Dictionary is this right here. A friendly, harmonious relationship, especially a relationship characterized by agreement, mutual understanding, or empathy that makes communication possible or easy. So I'm going to give you one more read of that now that you got the whole thing. Now think about it one more time. What is rapport? A friendly, harmonious relationship, especially a relationship characterized by agreement, mutual understanding, or empathy that makes communication possible or easy. And that's the key right there, making communication possible or easy. That's why you want to build rapport with people. That's why you want to establish rapport with people, whether you're trying to sell them anything or not. Remember, leadership's influence. I'm always talking about influence. If you want to build influence with people, it's a whole lot easier if you establish rapport. If you want to have authentic influence, we talked about the foundation of selling is influence early on in this series. Rapport is a key to that. So let's talk about empathy. Because in that definition, it said a relationship characterized by agreement, mutual understanding, or empathy that makes communication possible or easy. So empathy defined by Merriam-Webster, is this right here. The action or understanding, being aware of, being sensitive to, and vicariously experiencing the feelings, thoughts, and experience of another, of either the past or present, without having the feelings, thoughts, and experience fully communicated in an objectively explicit manner. So empathy means you understand. You hear me talk a lot about seek first to understand and be understood. Habit 5 from the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People that I talk about a lot, that principle. And that's what we're talking about, is empathy. Being able to understand, but not necessarily agreeing or disagreeing. Empathy is not about agreeing or disagreeing, it's about understanding. Sympathy is a form of agreement. We're not talking about sympathy with an S, we're talking about empathy. Starts with an E. Empathy. The reason I'm telling you that is, Rhea, if you know my wife, she says I don't enunciate well. I'm doing the best I can with this country dialect I have going on. All right? So that's just the way it is. That's life from the country. Rapport, I go and tell you that too. That's not a country word. We don't run around in the country using that word right there, rapport. That's why I had to learn about it when I first started hearing about it. But now I want to break it down for you simply. Rapport, defined in the very simplest of terms, means this right here. It's going to be easy to remember this one. I'm like you, so it's okay to like me. I read you the Merriam-Webster definition. Let me just give that to you again. I want to show you the difference between Merriam-Webster and Max Story, because I try to make things simple. And people give me a lot of credit for making things simple for people to understand. So you tell me which one of these is easiest for you to remember. This is the dictionary version. A friendly, harmonious relationship, especially a relationship characterized by agreement, mutual understanding, or empathy that makes communication possible or easy. It's hard for me to even read that. Let me tell you the easy way, though. I'm like you, so it's okay to like me. See how much simpler that is? And you don't have to explain it. You don't have to go down and break down all these big fancy words and teach somebody what those words mean. There ain't no reason to be talking. I call that fancy, those fancy words. When I used to do lean, the engineers come in and see the stuff I'm doing, and they want to show me how to do it. And they start doing all these formulas and just all this algebra and all this other kind of, I call it fancy math. I learned some of that fancy math when I was in college, but I don't use it. Not when I was doing lean. I don't forgot it, really. I probably couldn't do it if I had to anyway. But when I did lean, I did simple math. Adding, subtracting, multiplying, and dividing, real simple. I made all that fancy math. I figured out how to do it easy. Simple, so I could teach it to anybody easily. So rapport, I'm like you, so it's okay to like me. And you know, I talk about connecting a lot. And that's what we're talking about. We're trying to connect in a way that builds rapport, if you want to use that big fancy word. But most often, salespeople who are trained on the practice of establishing rapport are taught to mimic others. They're often taught to mimic this right here. How others walk, the speed, you know, the speed that someone's walking. Walk like them. Walk at their speed. Don't make them walk at your speed. You go where, meet them where they are. Don't expect them to meet you where you are. They get taught to mimic how others talk. Speak at the same speed. Tone of voice, volume, all that sort of stuff. These are practices I'm teaching you. And this is what a lot of classes on rapport teach people. Instead of just teaching, I'm like you, so it's okay to like me, and connecting, they teach all this practice stuff. They teach you to mimic the words being used, the slang words that someone may be using, how they're saying it even, terms that they're saying. In a way, that's kind of to me, it's manipulation. I know the purpose of it, but it's manipulation. They want you to mimic the posture. And these are long, in-depth classes teaching you all these ways to mimic and create rapport. Mimic the posture. If you're sitting there talking to someone and they lean back in the chair, laid back, then you need to lean back and lay back in your chair. They want you to mimic the energy. If somebody got a lot of energy, you need to pick up the energy. And there ain't nothing wrong with doing this if you're doing it naturally. But if you're just doing it to try to mimic somebody, you're going to look like you're doing it to try to mimic somebody. You're not going to be authentic. So it's going to be hard to build rapport. You can't build rapport with somebody who's not being authentic. And these are all practices, and there are many, many more. And you can go do your own research if it's something you want to learn about. Again, ain't nothing wrong with learning practices. But you need to be focused on the principle first. The principle is the foundation. If you never learn a practice, but you learn how to apply the principle, you're going to automatically do the practice that's necessary in that moment for it to be authentic. If you just learn some practices, you may try to do one that would work in some situation, but it don't work in every situation. The principle is going to work in every situation. So if you remember after the last chapter on the value of principles versus practices, you can see how trying to learn, master, and keep up with all the practices related to establishing rapport can become a significant challenge. I ain't even worried about it. I don't try to learn all that stuff. A little bit of stuff I taught you just a second ago that the salespeople a lot of times are taught, I ain't worried about learning all that stuff. I'm simple. I'm also busy. And I also have no desire or need to learn all these practices because I already know the underlying foundational principle of building rapport. So if you'll authentically master the one principle I'm about to teach you, this will be all you ever need to know about building rapport. So reflect again on my simple definition of rapport. I'm like you, so it's okay to like me. Remember, that's what you're trying to obtain. That's what you're trying to achieve. That's the goal. If you want to establish rapport, that's what you're shooting for. I'm like you, so it's okay to like me. So you think about now those practices I shared with you a while ago, all those things I've talked to you about, trying to mimic somebody's behavior, their words, their tone of voice, their posture, their energy, all that stuff. All that stuff, in simple terms, is to get somebody to say, you know, I get them to see me and think, you know, I'm like you, so it's okay to like me. I want them to think that, you know, like I'm saying that to them. I'm like you, so it's okay to like me. That's what I'm trying to say when I'm trying to apply those practices. But again, I'm saying Max Story wants to apply the principle to reach that same exact outcome where I'm able to say I'm like you, so it's okay to like me. So what principle will allow you to convey this simple message to every buyer, every time? And again, this book's focused on helping professional salespeople sell themselves so they can sell their product or service. But what I just said, you know, what principle will allow you to convey this simple message to every buyer? I could cross out buyer and say every person, every time. Doesn't have to be a buyer, just in the context of this book, it is the buyer. But it's ultimately everybody everywhere. So notice I didn't ask you which practice, because practices will only work in certain situations. Remember that from last chapter, with certain people at certain times. In other words, practices cannot be consistently highly effective because there are too many variables. That's why if you learn a practice, you got to learn a lot of them, and then you got to learn what situation do they apply in, when do they work positively, and when do they work negatively, and try not to do them when you're going to get a negative outcome. It's just too much to worry about for me. That's why I like to learn principles. But the key to becoming a highly effective and consistent salesperson is to master as many principles related to character-based human influence as possible. That's why I hope if you're a professional salesperson and you ain't went through some of my other books, that you'll learn after going through this book, you need to go through my other books, because that's all my other books are about, is teaching character-based principles of human influence. Leadership, which is influence, is nothing more than the psychology of influence. So think about the first half of the rapport definition that I gave you earlier. I am like you. That's the first half of the rapport definition. I am like you. If I'm trying to build rapport with you, or if I'm going to establish rapport with you, I got to be like you. You got to see me as being like you. But again, I'm going to do it in a way that's not mimicking. Because a lot of times that you'll go wrong, you'll get it wrong, it won't be authentic. How can I connect with every buyer I meet at the foundational level? Every person I meet. Remember, as a salesperson, you may be talking to people who don't buy, but they still going to give you positive or negative word of mouth. So you still need to connect with people, just like they're going to spend $1 million with you, because they might refer somebody who's going to spend $1 million with you. But if you treat somebody a certain way or don't connect with them because you think they ain't going to buy, or they may literally tell you they're not going to buy anything, you could be missing on quite a bit of referrals, and you could also cause yourself to get some negative word of mouth advertisement. But how can I connect with every buyer, every person I meet at the foundational level? What must I convey to them? Right? If I'm the leader, I'm responsible. So what must I convey to them? You see, I know this right here. Everyone cares deeply about themselves. Everyone cares deeply about themselves. Not some people, all people. And some of them care way too much about themselves, but that ain't what I'm talking about here. I'm just saying everyone has an authentic, everyone authentically cares about themselves. All people, everyone, not some people, all people. So the principle for building rapport is to authentically and sincerely convey to the buyer you are like them because you truly care about them just as they truly care about themselves. See how simple that is? I'm like you, so it's okay to like me. That's what I'm trying to get to. How do I get to that? They care about themselves. I care about them. Authentically. Can't be fake. It's got to be real. Bruce Barton put it this way. He says, no man can persuade people to do what he wants them to do unless he genuinely likes people and believes what he wants them to do is to their own advantage. It ain't about me. It's about you. You've heard me say that in a lot of my podcasts before. We talk about leadership, high impact leadership. It ain't about me. It's about you. But it starts with me. It ain't about me, but it starts with me. That means I got to get myself right. So all I'm telling you right here, you can't fake rapport because the buyer will feel it. You can't fake rapport because the other person will feel it, whether you buying and selling or you just interacting with people. You can apply all the practices of establishing rapport you can find. But if this underlying principle that I just taught you isn't applied authentically and sincerely, all the practices will be deemed manipulative and ineffective. That's why you got to know what I taught you a minute ago. You got to truly care about them because they truly care about themselves. If you don't, any of these practices you learn and try to apply, they're going to be seen as manipulative and they're going to be ineffective. That right there is why principles matter. If the principle is applied authentically and sincerely, the buyer will also feel it. And they will tell themselves a story. It's okay to like you because you like me. That's what they're going to tell themselves. It's okay to like you because you like me. Remember what I told you, my definition of rapport is, I am like you, so it's okay to like me. If you apply the principle that I taught you, truly valuing the other person, they're going to tell themselves, it's okay to like you because you like me. See how simple things are when you just make them simple? And I'm telling you, go do some research on rapport and see if you find any of that, the basic stuff I just taught you. They're going to make it complicated. They want you to pay them to come talk to you about that for hours. They're going to write a big old book on just that right there, full of practices. And I've never seen this anywhere. This is something I come up with because I'm all into principles. So I'm always trying to figure out what's the principle. And this is where I come up with it. But if you're into this stuff, go do some research on rapport and see if you can find it that simple and that effective. It's okay to like you because you like me. That's the story we want people to tell themselves, truthfully. And in this case, you won't need to apply the practices. You won't even have to do any of those practices if you can get a person to tell themselves that story, and it's the truth. However, if you do know the practices, they will be well received, highly effective, and allow you to leverage the underlying principle to increase your influence. So you can maximize the principle if you know the right practice. And even if you get the practice wrong, your intention is going to be right because you got that core principle of truly valuing the other person. And if you truly value the person, you're trying to connect with them and apply the practice that's going to allow you to show them that you value them. Not going to be fake and artificial. If you truly want to convey you care about your customers, consider these words from Tim Sanders. He said this right here. You don't help others because of who they are and how they can repay you. You should help them because it gives you an opportunity to do something incredible with all that you've learned and all you've become. There ain't nothing in that statement that says anything about manipulation. Professional sales pros, they don't manipulate. The amateur salespeople, they all about manipulation. They ain't figured it out yet. They either going to go broke or they're going to figure it out, though, in the long run. That's what's going to happen. Or they're going to barely get by. When you authentically help buyers, it's not about helping yourself get a sale. It's about helping them get what they want. There ain't nothing I hate worse relative to the purchasing process than some salesperson trying to sell me something I don't want because they think that I need it or because they don't have what I need. So they want me to buy something else because that's what they have and they worried about making a sale. They ain't going to get very far with me. I'm going to tell you that real quick. I'm going to tell them real quick too, but I'm going to be nice about it. Just recently, Rhea and I dropped her car off for service and we were walking around the new car lot just looking at cars. She'd probably be getting one in the next year or two or three, somewhere in there. And we were just looking though. We're not shopping. We don't want to buy one today. Or that day, one of the sales guys come out and he said, can I help you? I said, no, sir. He said, well, you know, I got to ask. I said, ain't nothing wrong with asking. I said, but I'm going to tell you this. If you spend any time with me, you wasting it because I ain't going to buy nothing. So if you want to hang out with me, we can hang out and chat, but you ain't going to sell me no car today. If you want to sell cars, it'd be best not to talk to me. You know, I made it humorous. But it was the truth. And he was real nice, shook my hand, and he wandered on off. And that's exactly what I want him to do. Because I didn't want to be sold to. See, if he would have actually wanted to chat and talk, he would have stayed and chatted and talked. He could have made a connection. And if he would have done it right, when I get ready to buy a car, I'd go down there and look for that guy, if that's where I'm going to buy it from. But he missed that opportunity. I have no idea who he is and don't even care. Because he missed it. He trying to make a sale. He wasn't trying to make a friend. We talked about that previously. So Tim's words that I shared a minute ago reveal another principle related to establishing rapport. Every buyer wants to be helped. That's a principle. If you're going to try to sell something and you want to be effective, learn that principle too. Every buyer wants to be helped. If you convey you are there to help them, they will help themselves, or they will tell themselves a story. If you convey you are there to help them, they will tell themselves a story. This is it. Since I want you to help me and you want to help me, it's okay for me to like you. That's another good story you'd like somebody to tell themselves if you're trying to sell them something. However, this principle must be applied on top of the foundational principle of caring for the buyer. If the buyer feels you don't care when you offer to help, your help will be perceived as manipulative. That's what happened with me and that sales guy. He didn't really want to help me. He wanted to sell me something. If he'd wanted to help me, he would have stayed and built a relationship. See if there's some other way he could help me besides selling me a car. He didn't understand that, though. Human influence is very complex and dynamic. That's what you got to know right there. You better make a note if you're taking notes. Human influence is very complex and dynamic. That's why you got to learn as many principles as you can. That's why you got to read, learn, and study leadership, character-based traits, your principles, your entire life. You're never going to learn them all because there's too many variables. Every single person is different. Every time you add one person into a relationship with another person, the complexity is exponentially. It just gets ridiculous how quickly things change. And you got to know some principles or you're going to flop around all over the place like a fish on a bank. The more you learn about influence, the more you will learn there is more to learn. That's a principle right there too. The more you learn about influence, the more you will learn there is more to learn. So let's get to these seller beware tips here at the end of this chapter. Wrap this thing up. Seller beware tip number one. If you don't care about what's best for the buyer, your influence will be limited from the start. Caring sales. Seller beware tip number two. Your values and character will determine if you're able to authentically and sincerely build rapport. Be more. Seller beware tip number three. Saying you care matters. But what matters most is this. Does the buyer truly feel you care? Feelings sell. So one last thing I just want to wrap up with today when I'm talking about rapport. Remember, rapport is basically saying you're like them because you truly care about them. I mean, that's what you're trying to get to. Rapport is I'm like you. It's okay to like me. But you get there by helping other people realize they care about themselves. You ain't got to help them realize that. They know it. But you got to help them realize that you care about them. And when you can do that, that one principle where they feel like it's okay to like you because you like me. If you get somebody to tell themselves that story about you, it don't matter who you are and it doesn't matter who they are. What I'm talking about is it don't matter if you're male or female, what color you are, what country you're from, how you talk, what you look like, if you're ugly, if you're beautiful, doesn't make any difference. If you're fat, if you're skinny, if you're short, if you're tall, doesn't matter. And all you got to do to validate this is think about anybody you know in your life. If you truly think that person cares about you, you believe that they care about you, you got rapport. Because you know you care about you and you know they care about you, so you have an automatic connection. It doesn't matter who they are, where they're from, what they look like. Just went over all that stuff. So remember, rapport, I'm like you, so it's okay to like me. Then the story you want people to tell themselves. It's okay to like you because you like me. Talk to you next time.
Make it happen or someone else will. It might as well be you.
Are you serious about taking your career and your life to the next level and beyond? Check out Max Story's Blue Collar Leadership Series books and others, now available on audio, along with paperback and ebooks at Amazon, iTunes, and Audible. Please visit BlueCollarLeadership.com to learn about Max books, programs, special offers, certifications, and more. Thank you for listening to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast.